So we are continuing this journey to Easter by way of Good Friday. We were on this sermon series entitled Renewed in Mercy. And if I may be so bold as to hang a title on this sermon, it would be Journeying in Grace. Journeying in Grace. We are on this journey during Lent. And we're on our journey during life. And what a wonderful word that Paul gives us in Ephesians 5. He opens up with this declaration that is not just descriptive, it is identity shaping. It is life reorientating. It is a spiritual awakening. He says, for once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. I want to draw your attention, if I may, here. Paul doesn't say you were in darkness, as if darkness was simply a place you visited. He said you were darkness. Your patterns, your worldview, your habits, your wounds, and your fears. And he doesn't say you are walking towards light, as if light were a destination you might reach someday. He said you are light right now in Christ, in grace, and in mercy. This is not about self-improvement. This is not a moral polishing. This is not try harder and be better. This is identity transformation, a new creation reality, a spirit-driven identity, a grace and anchored truth. And the church, this is another word we need to hear in 2026. Are we still connected? Okay. Because many people today feel like they're walking through the darkness of political hostility, the fog of economic pressure, the shadows of anxiety and depression, the heaviness of grief and loss, the confusion of cultural noise, the exhaustion of trying to hold everything together. I don't know about you, but I am in that slot of trying to hold everything together. We feel overwhelmed by the world's shadows, or underwhelmed of our own strength. But Paul says, you are not defined by the darkness around you. You are not trapped by the shadows behind you. You are not shaped by world's confusion. You are not who the world told you you were. You are light. You are God named. You are Christ claimed. You are spirit sustained. Say that with me. We are light. We are light. We are God named. We are Christ claimed. And we are spirit sustained. That's because you are light. Paul says, walk like it. Walk like someone who knows God is with you. Walk like someone who knows grace is guarding you, guiding you. Walk like someone who knows mercy is renewing in you. Walk like someone who knows the Spirit is shining through you. You see, this isn't about perfection. This is about direction. It's about identity becoming a lifestyle. This is about grace becoming a movement. This is about mercy becoming a way of walking in this world. Paul is saying, you don't walk to become light. You walk because you are light. You don't walk to earn God's presence. You walk because God's presence is already with you. You don't walk to impress God. You walk to reflect God. This is the beginning of the journey, this journey, this first step in grace, this call of Ephesians 5, walk as children of light. But Paul moves from identity to discernment, from who we are to how we walk. And he does it using one of his favorite tools, dualities. He does it with light and darkness, flesh and spirit, heaven and the world. But Paul's dualities, these aren't prisons. They're pictures. They're not rigid categories. They are spiritual metaphors meant to help us to see more clearly. Paul is not saying darkness is all bad. He's not saying the world is all bad. He is not saying that flesh is all bad. He is not dividing creation into holy and unholy zones. Paul would be horrified if we took these metaphors literally. Paul is saying this. There is good and not good around us. There are choices to be made. There is discernment required. This is where the tension lives, because we live in a world with blurred lines, a world where darkness doesn't always look dark, a world where shadows can feel comfortable, a world where the loudest voices drown out the wisest ones, a world where people call harmful things freedom and holy things old-fashioned. We live in a world where cynicism is marketed as intelligence. Self-protection is sold as wisdom. Individualism is praised as strength. Busyness is celebrated as important. And distraction, hear me here, distractions is normalized as rest. Outrage is rewarded with attention. And into this world, Paul says, walk as children of light, not because the world is evil, but because the world is confused. Not because people are wicked, but because people are weary. Not because darkness is powerful, but because darkness is subtle. Paul is teaching us that light and darkness are not locations, they are directions. They're not labels, they're choices, they are not verdicts, they are discernments. This is why Paul says the fruit of the light is found in goodness, choosing what reflects God's heart. Righteousness, choosing what aligns with God's character. Truth, choosing what is real and not just convenient. And then Paul gives us the line that sits at the center of this whole passage. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Let me say that again. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. This is not about shame. This is not about fear. This is not about finger pointing. This is about alignment. Alignment with God's presence. Alignment with God's purpose. Alignment with God's love. Because the truth is this. You can be saved and still confused. You can be forgiven and still wandering. You can be loved by God and still learning how to walk in the light. And that's okay. That's why grace is a journey. That's why grace is renewing. That's why the Spirit walks with us. Paul isn't calling us to perfection. He's calling us to discernment, to pause, to reflect, to ask better questions, to choose with intention, to walk with awareness, to live with spiritual clarity in a world filled with noise. See, this is the tension of the Christian life. We are light, but we live in a world full of shadows. We belong to Christ, but we walk through a culture full of competing voices. We are guided by the Spirit, but we are surrounded by distractions. So Paul says, choose light. Choose truth. Choose goodness. Choose what reflects the God who walks with you. This is not condemnation. This is an invitation. This is not judgment. This is a direction. This is not pressure. This is grace.
Grace that guides, grace that clarifies, grace that awakens, grace that teaches us how to walk in a world as children of light. Paul gives us a phrase that sounds almost like a mission statement. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. But this is only half the mission statement, because try to find out can be academic, intellectual. It can be detached. It could be theoretical. But Paul is not calling us to spiritual research. He's calling us to spiritual practice. The mission is not try to find out what is pleasing the Lord. The mission is find out what is pleasing the Lord and then do it. Be it. Live it. Let it shine. Grace is not passive. Grace is not static. Grace is not a concept. It's a movement. Grace is direction. Grace is a journey. We journey in grace by choosing what reflects God's heart. God gives us a line that can feel sharp. It can feel confusing, even uncomfortable. He says, he goes on and says, take no part in unfaithful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Now here's part of our problem. For many Christians, this verse has been misused, turned into a license for judgment. A permission slip for finger pointing and justification for moral policing. But that is not Paul's heart. This is not the Spirit's work. This is not the way of Jesus. Paul is not calling the church to be critics of the world, watchdogs of morality, inspectors of other people's behaviors, a spotlight holder searching for someone to shame. Paul is calling us to light, a light that does not shame, a light that does not accuse, a light that does not humiliate, a light that does not weaponize righteousness. He says, light reveals, light heals, light clarifies, light restores, and light awakens. Paul's not calling us to expose darkness by pointing at it. He's calling us to expose darkness by being the opposite of it. Because think about it. What happens when light shows up? Shadows disappear. Confusion becomes clear. Fear loosens its grip. Hidden things lose their power. What was distorted becomes visible. What was broken becomes healed. You see, light does not have to fight darkness. Light does not have to fight darkness. Light simply needs to be light. It simply needs to be light. This is why Paul calls the works of darkness unfruitful. Darkness produces nothing lasting, nothing nourishing, nothing life-giving, nothing that reflects the heart of God. But the fruit of the light is goodness, righteousness, fruit. The fruit nourishes, the fruit multiplies, the fruit blesses, the fruit exposes darkness simply by existing. This is a word for us today, my brothers and sisters, because we live in a culture where exposing darkness often means outrageous posts on Twitter or Facebook. It's a call-out culture. It's public shaming. It's canceling people instead of restoring them. It's loud and complaining with condemning with very little compassion. But Paul calls us to a different way. We expose darkness by choosing integrity in a dishonest world. Choosing compassion in a cynical world. Choosing community instead of a world of isolation. Choosing truth in a manipulated world. Choosing grace in a judgmental world. Choosing light in a world that normalizes shadows. This is not a negative calling. It is a positive one. It's not shaming, but shining. It's not condemning, but illuminating. It's not pushing down, but lifting up. It's not finger pointing, but opening hands. Not spotlighting sin, but radiating grace. Paul is saying, find out what is pleasing to God and then do it, be it, live it, and shine it. Because when the people of God live as light, families change, workplaces shift, communities soften, relationships heal, hope rises, darkness retreats. See, light doesn't argue with darkness. Light doesn't negotiate with darkness. Light doesn't fear darkness. Light simply shines, and darkness cannot stay. This is the grace by which we journey. This is the calling of Ephesians 5. This is the invitation of Christ. Be light, walk in it, shine with grace. And Paul closes this section. He closes this section not with an argument, but with a song, a hymn, a summons, a spiritual alarm clock ringing through the ages. Sleeper, arise. Sleeper, awake. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. See, this isn't condemnation. This is not accusation. This is not Paul scolding the church. This is an invitation. This is an awakening. This is a resurrection language. Paul is speaking to a people who know God but feel numb. People who love Christ, Jesus but feel tired. People who believe in the light but feel stuck in the shadows. People who are living in Christ but living like they are fast asleep, half asleep. Church, this is us. This is our moment. This is our world. We live in a time when people are spiritually drowsy, not rebellious, just exhausted, not faithless, just overwhelmed, not uninterested, just distracted, not lost, just weary of the journey. We are scrolling our lives to sleep. We are worrying ourselves to sleep. We are working ourselves to sleep. We are numbing ourselves to sleep. We are surviving and not thriving, functioning but not nourishing, existing, not awakening. This is why, this is the world Paul sings, sleeper, awake. Wake up to God's presence. Wake up to God's grace. Wake up to God's calling. Wake up to the light that is already shining on you. This is not a call to hustle harder. This is not a call to spiritual performance. This is not a call to earn God's approval. This is a call to receive, to rise, to open your eyes to the light that has already come. Because Christ is not waiting for you to shine. Christ is shining on you. Christ is shining in you. And Christ is shining through you. This is this moment, this moment when grace becomes the movement. This is the moment when mercy becomes an awakening. This is the moment when identity becomes action. Paul is saying you don't have to stumble in the darkness. You don't have to wander without direction. You don't have to live half awake and half alive. Stand, rise, walk, and shine. This is resurrection before Easter. This is new life before the empty tomb. This is a spirit stirring in the soul. This is Christ calling the church to be wakefulness. When the church wakes up, hope wakes up. Courage wakes up. Compassion wakes up. Justice wakes up. Communities wake up. Light wakes up. This is the awakening Paul is singing about. This is the awakening the world needs. This is the awakening the Spirit is stirring in us. You see, verse 11 says it this way. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. At first glance, it sounds like a calling out. It sounds like shaming, finger wagging, and a moral policing. But that's not Paul's heart. Paul is calling us, it's not calling us to be critics of the world. Paul is calling us to be light in the world. And when light shows up, as I said before, shadows disappear. Darkness retreats. What is hidden becomes visible. What is broken begins to heal. We do not expose darkness by pointing at it. We expose it by being light. Not shaming, but shining. Not condemning, but illuminating. Not pushing down, but lifting up. Paul gives us a progression that is not a formula for formation. It's not a formula, but a formation. Not a quick fix, but a slow work of grace. Not a spiritual shortcut, but a spirit-led journey. And it rises, it builds, it climbs, it carries us somewhere. You see, we've read before, suffering leads to endurance. Endurance leads to character, and character leads to hope. This is not a path we would choose, but this is the path God gives us. Because in suffering is where the story starts, but suffering is never where the story ends. Suffering tries to break us, but endurance begins to build us. Endurance shapes our character, and character shapes births our hope. Suffering says, you won't make it. Endurance says, keep walking. Character says, God is forming you. Hope says, light is coming. See, suffering is the valley, endurance is the climb, character is the view, and hope is the sunrise. And churches, this is not an abstract theology. This is not ancient poetry. This is not a distant idea. This is our life. This is our world. This is our journey we are on right now. Because some of us know suffering all too well. The suffering of grief that won't let go. The suffering of anxiety that won't quit, that won't quiet down. The suffering of bills that don't match the paycheck. The suffering of relationship stretched too thin. The suffering of the world that feels heavy and divided. But hear this. Suffering is not a sign that God has left you. Suffering is a place where God begins to shape you. When suffering meets the presence of God, endurance arises. Endurance is not gritting your teeth. Endurance is not pretending you're strong. Endurance is learning to lean on God when your own strength runs out. And when endurance holds on long enough, character begins to form. Character is not perfection. Character is reflection, reflecting the heart of Christ in a world that desperately needs it. Character is compassion in a culture of indifference. Character is truth in a world of spin. Character is mercy in a world of judgment. Character is a community in a world of isolation. Character is light in a world of shadows. And when character is shaped by Christ, hope rises. Not optimism, not denial, not pretending everything is fine. Hope is the quiet, stubborn belief that God is still at work. Hope is the refusal to let despair have the last word. Hope is the courage to believe that mercy is still moving. Hope is the light in the darkness that cannot be put out. Hope is the sunshine after the longest night. And church, this is where Paul leaves us, not in suffering, not in endurance, not in character. He leaves us in hope. Hope that Christ is shining. Hope that the spirit is awakening. Hope that God is guiding. Hope that the light is breaking in. Hope that grace is still enough. This is the journey of grace. This is the path of mercy. This is the walk of the children of light. So as we close, hear the call of the gospel. Rise, children of light. Walk in grace that holds you. Shine with hope that sustains you. Live as people awakened by Christ, because God is our companion. Christ is our Savior. The Spirit is our sustainer. And the light you walk in is the light that walks with you. This is our crescendo of Christian life. Christ shines on you. Christ shines in you. Christ shines through you. This is the journey of grace. This is the call of Ephesians 5. This is the next step in our journey of renewal in mercy. And let God's people say, amen.